And while you're turning there, I'll give you a little bit of an update and tell you some things that's been going on out in Big Timber. You know, we left Big Timber, it had probably been, a little over a week or so ago now. Our church got to take a retreat to go out to Kentucky and to see the ark that was there in the Creation Museum. And when we left, I was in a t-shirt. I looked at my security camera today, and there's 6 inches of snow on the ground. So I've got that to look forward to when I get back. So definitely a different world there, getting ready for the wintertime that's going to be coming in. That's going to change a little bit of things. But, you know, people ask me what it's like there seeing that much snow. We'll get 2 or 3 foot. You know, things don't stop. If you stop because of the snow in Montana, you'll just never get anything done. It's just always there. Anyway, things have been going very, very well. We just recently had, which is our sixth anniversary as it relates to being there preaching, but our fifth anniversary being founded as a church. And the Lord has been so very good to us. You know, it's amazing to see what the Lord has done. And the way I always try to recognize that is that there's nothing that we have done, but the Lord's the one doing it. Praise the Lord. We just get to be there to watch it. And folks, that's the way the Lord works. You know, He just calls people. He calls them to be faithful. And so long as you're there doing what the Lord would have you to do, He's able to work in a mighty way. And He's the one that does everything, and it's all to Him to be the glory. So we've been seeing to the church, new folks have been coming. We've been seeing people added to the church. One of the things we're getting ready to do, some of you have seen it, our auditorium is actually very wide. Instead of being kind of narrow and straight back, it's wide, and our platform's up front. We've been getting to the place where when we have big days, we're starting to actually run out of seating, which is a good problem to have. So we're trying to figure out what we're going to do, how we could get more chairs into this room. And one of our folks said, well, man, why don't we just flip the auditorium sideways? So I scratched my head for a minute, and I thought, well, yeah, maybe that'll work. And if my math is correct, if we move the pulpit around and try to rearrange the whole auditorium, we can fit about 30 more chairs in there. So that would be certainly a blessing to us. We'll be working on that as soon as we get back. So we've been seeing a lot of things happen there at the church. If you were in the Sunday school class with us this past Sunday, I was kind of giving an update about how things have been growing there, I guess, just with the building itself. It's now been about a year and a half. The Lord has actually helped us to be able to pay for that building completely. We are now mortgage-free as a church, so that's been a great blessing there as well. We just had our very first missions conference about 2 months ago, and to God be the glory, we started the Faith Promise Missions Program. Never had that before, and it was pretty amazing. So some of you have been involved in Faith Promise for years. Folks there have never even heard of it. You know, we're trying to explain how, okay, you're giving your tithes, but now you're giving to missions. And like, wait a minute, that's separate. So we're trying to explain it to them. Anyway, to God be the glory, we were able to give about $11,000 to missions this upcoming year. We took on 3 brand new missionaries, so now we have a missions program. It's just been really amazing to see the Lord work and to see people start to serve the Lord. They've been growing in the Lord. We just sang that song by Ron Hamilton, Brother Delp. It was neat for us. You said Patch the Pirate. We started a Patch the Pirate kids program there now too. So we've got a patch club every Wednesday night. Got about 15 kids there. So it's been neat to see all that the Lord's been doing. Anyway, what we're going to do here, we're getting ready to go into the book of Joshua, and I've got several things I'm going to show you out of this. And this will be, if you were in a Sunday school class this past Sunday, a much larger, expanded message on kind of what we talked about there. Something that I was very, by the way, I thank God for this. One of the things I was very sheltered in, I was sheltered under the umbrella of a good church growing up. And I praise God for that. And here's what I mean. I didn't know what good preaching was until I didn't see good preaching. You know, I grew up under that. You know, I grew up going to this church, and it's kind of interesting being here. I look around now, and I have so many fond memories. I mean, this building is the Spanauer property. That's just as much home as my home was. You know, I remember when we moved to this property, I was 11 years old. You know, me and some of my other buddies, we used to get in trouble in this church, you know, and have people getting after us. Anyway, I could tell you some of those stories later. I'll not do that from the pulpit. Pastor's behind me, so I might get in more trouble. Anyway, it's so amazing to be able to be back and to see what God has done here and to see from where the Lord has brought me. I am incredibly, incredibly grateful to have grown up in a place where there's sound biblical preaching. Amen. And I want to tell you, that's something that's becoming rare in our country. It really is. Now, I'm not saying it's not there. I'm not saying you can't find it, and I'm definitely not casting off on other pastors. What I am saying is, There seems to be a sense of lacking culturally in America of the authority of God's Word, There's a lacking in people wanting to continue on the things that God has set forth, and we're taking the things that God has taught us and just kind of sweeping them under the rug for the sake of convenience and cultural, political correctness. And I think that's wrong. Amen. That's wrong. Folks, I want to tell you something. I know this is something that you've been taught here at the church, and I hope you live by it. The culture does not dictate what the Bible says. The Bible dictates what the culture ought to be. The Bible dictates what a culture ought to be. And what I want us to do here as a church, and what I want us to understand, is that we have the Word of God. This is our Scripture. This is what we live by. This is what we stand by. And as long as we stand on this, everything else is going to work out all right. Some of you may remember Dr. Ernest Gambrell. This is something he taught me many, many years ago, and it stuck with me. And he would always say this, and this is kind of, I guess, by way of introduction to what we're going to study in a few minutes. He would say, you know, if you please God, it does not matter who you displease. Right. But if you displease God, it does not matter who you do please. That's right. And folks, that's absolutely the truth. As long as we're standing on God's Word, if we can do right by Him, and on that day when we stand before Him, if we know that we were right by Him and by His Word, it doesn't matter who got upset with us or been out of shape with us here along the way. So that's what I want to kind of talk to us about today, just a little bit, is this. I want to give us this one word, and I guess you could put two words, however you want to say it. I just want to give us this one word. It is this. Continue. Man, just keep at it. Just keep going. Just keep doing what God has called you to do. Don't ever feel like, man, it's getting tired. I'm getting wore out. This isn't working anymore. Man, we've got to do something. We've got to do something just to make things different. No, God gave us His Word a long, long time ago, and it's still the same Word. Amen. It's still the same book, and it still works. So I want to encourage us just to continue. Or maybe you could even say, don't quit. That's another good way at it. So by now, you should be in the book of Joshua. We're going to look at this scripture here in just a moment. But I do want to give you this also by way of introduction. Understand that the message we're getting ready to look at and what we're going to see here in the Word of God, this is something that is very much geared towards you as a Christian. Okay, this message assumes that you are someone that is born again, you have a relationship with the Lord, and you are working on your relationship with the Lord. I will tell you this, if you are here tonight and you've never had your introduction to Jesus Christ, you've never had a moment where you have accepted Him as your Lord and your Savior, I want to tell you something. There is a grand adventure, a battle in front of you, and there is a race to be run in front of you, and you can start that today. Today can be your day of salvation. And man, that's a wonderful thing. If that's something that you've never been introduced to in the Word of God, please come see me, come see Pastor, come see someone. We'd love to show you what that means. But for tonight, this message is for you, Christian. This is for you, church member. This is for you, father, leader in your home. This is for you, Christian. So we're going to take a look at Joshua, chapter number 1. And let's look here in verse number... let's start in verse number 6. Joshua, chapter number 1, verse number 6. I want to introduce to you what's going on. You know, the Bible says that Joshua, he was the minister of Moses. He was someone that followed Moses wherever it is that he went. He actually went with Moses up on the mountaintop there for a while, and he was also a warrior. He was a man that knew what it was to go to battle and to swing a sword. He was a man's man. And that, in fact, as they were coming down from the mountain, if you remember the story, they looked down and they saw that the children of Israel started to worship a false idol, and Joshua was the one that said, Moses, it sounds like they're fighting. Man, he didn't know what a fight was. So he was the minister of God. Now, at this point in time, what we're getting ready to read, Moses has died. He's passing on. Joshua, this warrior, this man of war, is his successor. He's going to be the leader now of the nation of Israel. What we're reading is God Himself talking to Joshua, giving him his marching orders as a leader. There's some things in here that I think we would do well if we perked our ears up to and applied to our own lives as well. Joshua chapter number 1, verse number 6, the Bible says this, "Be strong and of a good courage." Now he's telling a soldier, you need to be courageous. He knew what that meant. "Be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success." Our God and our Father, I pray that you would bless the things that's going on here tonight. As we take a look at the Word of God, I know there's things in there that you would have us to take heed to. I pray that you would speak to each and every one of us. Lord, above all, I pray that you would be honored. And I pray that you would be glorified and that you would be magnified. May we empty ourselves so that you may receive the glory and honor for everything that's done here tonight. Lord, I pray that you would help us to do this very thing, to continue. And in the ways in which we can continue, may we never give up. Lord, we do love you and may you be honored. And it's in your name that we pray. Amen. Very interesting thing. Some of you have probably, and this will be a little comedic relief for a minute, some of you have probably started a diet before, right? This past year, I thought to myself, I was like, you know what, self, you need to lose a little bit of weight. Which, and people are telling me that I look thinner last time than when they saw me. I'll take that as a compliment because it's not true. But I thought to myself a few months back, I thought, man, I probably should stay ahead of the curve and lose a few pounds. And I started dieting. I thought, man, this is going to be great. I lost about 11 pounds, but don't worry, I found 8 of them like 2 months later. Maybe some of you have done that. And here's why I say this. There's a statistic out there, and you know where these come from. They say that 80% of people that start a diet and lose weight have that weight back within 1 year. I am part of those numbers. 80%! I'm like, goodness gracious, they don't stick with it. And that's kind of what we're looking at. They don't stick with it. Why is it that we as people have such a tendency to start something and then somewhere along the lines just seem to give up along the way? And it's very sad to say, too, that I think most of us probably know this one. 40 to 50% of marriages end up in divorce. In 2019, that was actually, from what I understand, at an all-time low, possibly because people aren't even getting married at all anymore. But the simple fact is, we're not able to stick with it. We start something, and then we don't finish. Someone did a survey of people that were at their jobs, and they wanted to know the tenure of the job they were in. They would go to these day laborers and say, hey man, you've been here at this place. Now, how long have you been working here? The average number that they found when they asked how long they had been at their current job, average number was 4 years. Watch this one. This is for pastors across America. Please understand, all denominations, all types. Pastors across America, the average tenure of a pastor is 4.5 years. 4.5 years. So, well, he's not in here. I was going to pick on him. Somebody tell me, how long has Pastor Vernon been here? Does anybody know? How long has Pastor Vernon been here?
26, 27.
He's been here a long time. 26, 27 years. By the way, you've got to thank God for that man. He's a good man. He's been a lot to me in my life growing up. Folks, to see someone that would stay at a church and serve people and love people and just have this sense of being stuck to what God has called them to do has become a very, very rare thing. Now let me ask you this, Christian, because we're talking about Christians. How many of us have we seen someone that would start off on a path for the Lord, and somewhere along the line, they're just gone? They just quit. They don't want to serve the Lord anymore. Maybe the world has too much of a draw towards them. Maybe there's too much pleasure in the world. Maybe it be money, maybe whatever. Plug in whatever sin you want. But I want to tell you, Satan does a very good job of pulling Christians back into the world. And then our tendency towards sin has a pull towards that as well, doesn't it? Why do we quit? Why do we go back towards it? Folks, I want to encourage you in three ways. Now, typically, I am what you call an exegetical preacher. Man, I started the passage, but I'm going to pull you to three different places tonight. I'm going to show you, as a Christian, this is where I want to encourage you. There's three ways tonight that as Christians, as children of God, that you need to continue. There's three ways that you need to continue. Continue number one is this, and we just read it. Continue in God's Word. Man, is that simple? Yeah. It's that simple. Continue in God's Word. And that's something that we would think, boy, as Christians, shouldn't that be baseline? Shouldn't that be fundamental? Yeah, it is fundamental. I want us to go back, and I'm going to take a look at Joshua, what we just read. Here we see a man, like we've already said, that he was a warrior. He knew what it was to take a shield and to see a sword getting swung at his head and to go into this battle with bravery and with courage. And then God looks at this man and says, hey, you need to be brave and you need to be courageous. He's not talking about being courageous in the sense you need to be ready to grab your sword. No, he's talking about being courageous in the things of God. Look again here at verse number 6, 7, and 8. And I want you to see how he tells him this, and I want you to relate it to yourself. verse 6. Be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance. He's talking about how they're going to divide the land once they get there. Verse 7. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded thee. Here's what was getting ready to happen. Again, understand this time period. They had just received the law, first five books of the Bible. They had just received it. They're going into Canaan's land. They're going to be starting this war, this battle to overtake the land of Canaan. But he doesn't say be courageous for the battle. He says be courageous to observe the law. Folks, can I tell you something? And this goes back to what I said in our introduction a few minutes ago. Do you realize that's where our churches are losing ground? Well, we are losing ground on very simply just doing what the book says. Just the very fundamental of saying, hey, man, this is what my Bible says, so I'm going to stand by it. We see churches all across America that are giving up lands in astronomical ways that we would have never even thought. This is the same illustration I used over in the Sunday school just this past Sunday. So it'll be familiar to some of you. There are ministries now that their standard of operation, their baseline is this, and this is some statements these folks have made. They would say, we have reached the point in our churches today where we no longer need the Word of God. It's an outdated book. And I'm thinking, what? You're not even a church. You're not even preaching the book. You're not even standing by what you were meant to be founded for. We have people that are standing in our pulpits that are unqualified even to preach, and here they are handling the most precious document in all of human history. How? Because, well, if something seems too extreme, we'll just explain that one away. If that one doesn't fit our culture, we'll just sweep that one under the rug. That one's a little too hard-lined. Well, folks, it doesn't matter what the rest of culture thinks. Amen. That's why God told Joshua, you need to be strong, you need to be courageous. What the book says is where you stand. Now, Christian, here's where I want to relate that to you. Your culture doesn't stand here anymore. It doesn't. In fact, your culture is very contrary to what this book says. You're going to find yourself in a battle. Are you willing to be strong and courageous and stand where God has told you to stand? Or let's just face it, will we be weak-spined and will we flounder and go with what every wave of thought comes around us? Are we going to stand with the world or are we going to stand with the book? See, that's why I say continue number one. It seems like it's a pretty simple one, but it's not. Let's just face it, it's not. The very gospel in and of itself is very controversial. You know, there's a man I was watching, it was on an interview not too long ago. He was a pastor, and I remember the interviewer was introducing this pastor. He was going to come in, and he was going to sit across the table. And you know how before they have these, they have the man talking about, oh, this is our next segment. This is the way they introduce this pastor. They would say, oh, here comes Pastor so-and-so. We're going to ask him his opinion on this. And he's a pastor who believes the Bible literally. I'm like, well, yeah, no kidding. I mean, folks, if you understand anything about me and the way we stand here on this Bible, we take the Bible literally. Well, we stand on what it says. It's not something that we super spiritualize and say, well, I think for me it maybe means this. Now, I understand we can apply the Bible to our specific situations. I understand that. But when God gives His Word, God's Word's given. Done. So I want us to continue in the Word. Continue in the Word. Look at how He says you do this. And this is something I think we all want. Remember how I said this is for Christians? I'm going to show you how this plays out. Let's look again at verse number 8. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. Man, get in there. Get in the book. I thank God for pastors. I thank God for the pastor here at Calvary Baptist Church. I thank God for pastors that teach us. But when it comes to us getting in the book, nothing can replace you opening the book and getting in the book. Folks, we've got to meditate. We've got to study. We've got to learn. How are we going to know what we're supposed to stand on if we don't even know what it says? We've got to get in there. So he says, meditate day and night. But look what he says then. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. Why? that thou mayest observe to do according to all that's written therein. So you got to know what it says before you can do it. Then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Good success. Good success. Man, don't we want good success? Man, sure. Man, don't you want to come to the end of your life and be able to look back and say, man, I had a successful life. We all want that. But let me ask you, how many of us have ever felt like, or even as Christians, maybe seen others that seems like, man, they're just spinning their wheels. They can't seem to get any traction on their life. They can't seem to get anywhere. They don't seem like anything's getting done, at least as it relates in a spiritual sense. A lot of times what you'll find is if we try to live this life absent of God's Word, we're not going to have success. Well, we can't live this life successfully without God's Word. So if we will meditate, if we'll learn, if we'll read, if we'll do what it says, then we will have our successful life. But please understand, it's not a worldly success. In fact, there are people in the Word of God that lost their head, literally. But that was a successful life lived for God. And that's where we ought to be. Let's continue in the Word. Continue in the Word. Doing what it says, meditating it, that's what brings us success. Nothing else. Doing what God has said. So number one, continue in the Word. I'm going to give you number two. We're continuing in the Word, but let's also continue in the work. Let's continue in the work. For this, I'd like us to turn over to the book of Galatians, chapter number 6. This should be a familiar verse to some of you. Galatians chapter number 6. And we're going to look at verse number 9. Galatians 6, verse number 9. Let me ask you something. You ever get tired of working? I mean, come on, you can be honest. If you're not shaking your head, you're lying right now. You ever get tired of working? You ever get tired of the grind? I mean, you get up early in the morning, you go work, and then you come home, and finally you rest, and you wore out, and you got to do it again tomorrow. I mean, we get tired of working, don't we? Sometimes we get tired of the mundane day in, day out, and it seems like nothing ever seems to change. I'm just going to bide my time maybe till the Lord gets here. You ever get tired of that? Now, let me ask you this. You ever get tired of being the goody-goody? By the way, when did it become derogatory to be called a good person? I mean, really. You ever been called the holy roller? Man, that's the Bible thumper. Man, that's the goody two-shoes. He's just this and this and this. When did it become derogatory to be called holy? Man, that ought to be something that we ought to strive for. Anyway, the one I want to show you is this. You ought to be there by now. Galatians chapter 6, verse number 9. The scriptures say this. And let us not be weary in well-doing. For in due season we shall reap if we faint not. We shall reap if we faint not. That's why I say number two, yeah, we continue in the Word, but you have to continue in the work. Continue in the work. There's actually a very intriguing scripture. We'll not turn there, but if you go to the book of Acts, some of the first men that were called to the ministry, the Bible talks about how God has separated men to a work that I have called them to do. Please understand, work is not a derogatory thing as it relates to the work of God. That's why we call it the work. Man, we have been called to do a great and grand job. We have been called to go forth and to teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Christian, that's our job. Man, we're in a race. We ought to be running for something. But we're never going to accomplish our goal if we give up. We're never going to get anywhere if we sit down and quit running. So here's the danger. Here's the danger. This scripture assumes that you are doing something that's actually going to make you tired. So first, you got to be doing something. This scripture assumes that you're doing something that will cause you to get weary. So number one, Christian, I'll ask you this. What are you doing to serve the Lord? What are we doing? Are we doing something that would cause us to wear out? Are we doing something that's hard? Are we even trying? Are we even in the work? I think about this. We talked about the gym a few minutes ago. How many of you, and please don't raise your hand for this one, how many of you have ever signed up for a gym membership but didn't show up for like 3 months? I'll actually raise my hand on that one. I've done that one. We'll sign up. We'll say, man, this is something I'm going to do. And then how crazy would it be for me to walk into the gym and say, yep, here I am. But if I never pick up a weight, it's not going to help me. If I don't ever push run on the treadmill, it's never going to help me. Unless I actually start doing something, it's never going to help me. But folks, let me ask us. How many of us are doing the same thing spiritually speaking? Man, we'll sign up. Man, we might even show up. But are we willing to pick up the weight? Are we willing to start working? Are we willing to start doing something? Are we willing to start caring? Are we willing to start teaching? Are we willing to start looking for someone that's lost that maybe needs that gospel track? Are we looking for ways to get involved in the work of God? So number one, we actually ought to be working. But number two, this is the encouragement part of this. Christian, if you are doing the work, you ever feel like you're getting wore out? You ever feel tired? You ever get run down with the mundane? There was a man in the Old Testament that got that way. Lord, I'm the last man alive that wants anything to do with you. There's no one else. Nobody's listening to me. So the Lord told him to take a rest, told him to sleep and got him some food, and then he was up and ready again to go. But man, he felt that way. Don't ever feel like it's inhuman to get tired. We will get tired, but the point is, don't get so wore out that you're ready to quit and then actually quit. Man, every now and then, sure, take a rest. That's fine. But don't quit serving the Lord. It hurts me personally, and it should you too. Think to yourselves, how many of us know those that used to labor alongside, that were there with us, that were in the trenches, as it were, with us, and now they're gone? Maybe they're in the grave. Maybe Satan got them. Maybe they gave themselves over to sin. Whatever. The point is, we've got to stick with it. That's our responsibility. That's on us. No one's going to push us. Well, the Lord's always there with me. He's always got my hand. And I praise the Lord for that. But I may have a propensity to want to let go and go my own way once in a while. Folks, let's not quit. Let's stay at it. Why? And I love how he puts this. He doesn't just say, okay, keep working because I said. Look at how he says it again in verse number 9. Let us not be weary in well-doing. Don't get so wore out in doing the things that you ought to do. Why? For in due season, when the time comes, you will reap if we faint not. Folks, there's crowns to be won. There are victories to win. There are battles to fight and win. You know something I'm looking forward to? Now, I think we all understand this. I mean, this world wears us out sometimes. It does. But I'm actually looking forward to the day that I can get to heaven. And don't you want to get there and see somebody else's smiling face that's in heaven because you showed them how to get there? Isn't that going to be worth it? Isn't that going to be something that's exciting? Man, what children's teachers, how many of you had the opportunity to take a little child by the hand and show them that Jesus loves them? The Bible talks about we can trust Christ with just that childlike faith. And man, to just hear, man, Jesus loves me? And then to know that that soul is going to be in heaven one day because you showed him how. Isn't that going to be good? Why would we ever get wore out? Well, the world has a tendency to do that, but one day, we're going to get to reap. It might not be today. And isn't that interesting how that's kind of the way we live today? We want our rewards now. You know, if I'm not seeing rewards now, then why even do it? I want my rewards now. No, the Lord says we will reap if we faint not. So, Christian, I want to share with you, number one, continue in the Word. I mean, if you're a child of God, you've got to be a person of the book. That's where we stand. We stand on the book. Number two, continue in the work. Don't quit. Stay in the work. Number three, and this will be our last one. I want you to turn with me to the book of Mark, chapter number 13. Mark, chapter number 13. I'll read to you the scripture, then I think you'll probably catch it. Mark, chapter number 13. Mark chapter number 13, let's start reading in verse number 32. Mark 13, verse 32. God's word says this: "But of that day and that hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels which are in heaven, neither the Son, but the Father. Take ye heed, watch and pray, for ye know not when the time is. For the Son of Man is a man taking a far journey, who left his house and gave authority to his servants, and to every man his work, and commanded the porter to watch. Watch ye therefore, for ye know not when the master of the house cometh, at even or at midnight, or at the cock crowing, or in the morning, lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping. And what I say unto you, I say unto all, watch." Watch. So we said, number one, continue in the word. Number two, continue in the work. Number three, folks, continue in the watch. Continue in the watch. And here's what I mean for this. I think we have such a, when I say we, I get this way. I think we all do. We have such a short-sighted mentality. You know, we think about, okay, what's going to happen? What's going to happen next week? What's happening right now? What's happening around me? And by the way, we have to watch out for those things. I understand that. But what I am saying is this: do we live for the end game? I mean, do we live knowing what's coming and what's going to be ahead of us? I think we get so wrapped up in the things that we see, what's happening right now, what's right in front of me, and that I want to shift and work around these things. But folks, the Bible says that I ought to be waiting for the Lord to come. I'll tell you a real quick funny story. We'll take a break for a minute. Big Timber, Montana. We've got one pizza joint, and they don't deliver. Man, they ought to deliver, but they don't. Anyway, it's not like they only have to go two blocks to get to the house, but whatever. There's no pizza delivery in Big Timber. So the other night we was here, and I thought to myself, we're trying to figure out what was going to eat with our family. And we said, man, we'll just call out a pizza. So we did. So I got on my phone and I went to Papa John's and I ordered a pizza. Now, I told my three sons this. I said, man, the pizza is going to come to us. And they're just like, what? You know, that's like unheard of. The pizza's coming to us. And so my middle son, Henry, he kept calling him the pizza boy. The pizza boy is going to be here. So I told him he's coming. So sure enough, a few minutes later, my phone dings. Bing. He said, hey, your Papa John's pizza is on the way. I said, all right. Now, it didn't show up for like 30 minutes, but anyway, he was only 10 minutes away. So I don't know what the deal was. Anyway, the pizza's coming. And I told my son Henry this. I said, man, the pizza's coming to us. It's going to be here in a few minutes. Next thing I know, I'm looking around. I'm like, goodness gracious, where'd Henry go? I couldn't find him. I opened up the garage door, and I look out into the garage, and there he was. He had a lawn chair set out, and he was right there at the edge of the garage, and he had plopped down. And he's just sitting there. I said, son, what are you doing? He goes, I'm waiting for the pizza boy. I thought, man, that's funny. He was. He was sitting there. He looked this way. And then sure enough, finally the pizza guy shows up and he pulls into the driveway. Then my three kids went, like they ran to him. The pizza guy was like, whoa. You know, so he hands them their pizza. And man, they were excited. I mean, that was cool. They had never seen a pizza delivery. Anyway, I think about Henry. He's my middle son. Boy, he wanted his pizza. He knew it was coming. When he knew the pizza was about there, the rest of the world wasn't even on his mind. Why? He was watching for the pizza guy. Have you ever noticed what we do as Christians? Where do we put our focus in a daily aspect of life? Oh, man, I got this problem I got to fix now. Can you believe that my water line's busted in my house again? And by the way, I get it. We have to fix these things. But why do we let so much of the world just drag us away from watching for what's good to come? Man, we turn on the news, and man, now I'm worried about this. I'm worried about that. Now I'm afraid of this. I'm afraid of that. By the way, Christian, the Bible says that God hath not given us a spirit of fear. We have no reason to fear. But man, we've got Christians that are wringing their hands. Man, what if the Antichrist is going to come? By the way, he is going to come. The Bible says he's going to come. Well, oh man, what about the whole Mark of the Beast thing? I have people worrying about that. Oh, by the way, Christians, I know you're excited about this thing is coming up. You're not going to be here for it. Sneak peek. I'm stealing your thunder, Pastor. You're not even going to have to worry about it. So why in the world are we over here wringing our hands, worried about this, worried about that, when my mind and my eyes ought to be on what's good to come? We have nothing to worry about. So I know we say it, oh man, the Lord's in control. Well, yeah, he is. Amen. Absolutely he is. But it's funny, we'll say this, and then we worry about this. We say this, and then we go over here and start worrying about this. In fact, the Bible says, be careful, as in to say full of care. Be careful for nothing but everything through prayer. Folks, we ought to take these things to the Lord. And at the end of the day, the Bible tells me this, that thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee. You see, if we can just watch, if we just know what's coming, if we'll just take our eyes and look up and say, Lord, I'm ready for you to come whenever you're ready. Lord, I'm here for you. Yeah, everything's burning up around me. That's fine. Lord, in your time, I'm yours. Now, I'm not saying things are going to be easy. Please understand, I'm not saying that. In fact, nowhere in the Bible does it say the Christian life is going to be easy. But he did show us how to live it. He did give us a word that we can continue in. He did show us how to live it. He did show us what's right and what's wrong. And he did show us how we can stand on these things. So yeah, we know what we can believe. So Christian number one, we said, continue in the Word. Man, you've got to get in there. Get in the Word. Learn it. Live it. Obey it. Do it. Stand on it. And by the way, that's going to take a little bit of courage. It is. That's going to take some courage. And we said number two, continue in the work. Man, God's given you a job to do. Don't quit. Don't give up. Just stay at it. Did the world kind of beat you up a little bit today? Yeah. Take it to the Lord and go ahead and lace up your boots again tomorrow. And get back at it. Pastor Roy Hill once told me something. I've never forgot this. He said, sometimes you take a hit. And we talk about football. I like football. He said, sometimes you got to take a hit like a football player. Yeah, it'll knock you down, but you got to get up and keep running. And you just keep going. Just keep going. And then we said, number three, keep watching. Keep watching. Keep your eyes on Jesus. There's all this other stuff around us that'll distract us. It'll worry us. It'll cause us to fear. It'll cause us to look this way and to look that way. And not that we shouldn't be aware of what's happening. I'm fine with that. But what's your gaze on? What's your focus on? You know, Paul talked about setting that on things above and reaching forth into those things which are before, pressing towards that mark. We've got a mark. Are you pressing towards it? Are you watching? Folks, all that to say this one word. Continue. Don't quit. Continue in the Word. Continue in the work. And keep on watching. Let's have every head bowed and every eye closed. I'll pray, and Pastor, I'll ask you to come. Father, I pray that you take the things we see in the Word of God here tonight, and that we would all take these things to heart. That we would be people of the book. That we would be people of the Scriptures. And we wouldn't, Lord, waver on these things. That we would be very strong and very courageous. And Lord, for those here that are laboring,